good morning. I've written on the board the effects of disobedience. And I know oftentimes that we, as ministers, particularly in our generation, it seems like there is this, we want to inspire. And that's good. I believe that there's a place for us to be inspired by the Word of God and encouraged and whatnot. But then sometimes there's a point for us to challenge us. Yes. Maybe in the place that we're in, we're not really taking into consideration all the things that God wants us to do. And so we can be challenged to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. And as we bring this out, we want you to pray for us as we bring it out and that the Lord would make it plain and clear. And I want to preface this thought by saying to us that it has always been my philosophy or my motto as a pastor that I tell the congregation, this is not a spiritual dictatorship. The Lord does not require me to enforce anything that I preach to you from my understanding of the Scripture. And what I mean by that is, you can do whatever you want to do. If I preach it and you don't agree with it, you have every right to not do it. But ultimately, the Scripture tells us in one place, it says that obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So in other words, I want to preface this by saying that I don't require that. The Lord requires it. I don't require it. So I'm not requiring you to obey me, and I'm saying you don't have to do anything that I say. And I'm not the dad, and you're the child, and all those kinds of things. It is that you do what the Lord tells you to do, and that's very important for us to get a hold of that, and to understand the principle of that. So may the Lord help us, because we're living in a time and a season in our society that there is not a clear understanding of what authority is and who's the authority and whatnot, and people that are abusing their authority. So we need to make certain that we are obeying not man, but God. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? I'm not talking about, oh, then you got to do it because this is just specifically the law of the land, but we need to know the law of God. And so here's a responsibility that each one of you have. And I say this oftentimes, you'll hear me say it again, I'll reiterate it from time to time, that you follow me as I follow the Lord. But the point is that you know that whoever your spiritual leadership, whoever's listening to this, whoever happens to be watching this at any given time, you need to be very clear that your spiritual leadership is following the Lord.
Amen.
And if they're not following the Lord, you're under no obligation to follow them. Period. So what does that mean? What that tells us, without saying it blatantly, is it tells us that, first of all, the first responsibility that we have is to know the Lord ourselves.
Yes.
If we know the Lord ourselves, then we'll know if that man or that woman or that person that's in leadership, we'll know if they know the Lord as well. There is this witness that we have there. So I want us to have a clarity and an understanding here. I want us to turn, first of all, to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and I want to start at the 8th verse. I want to read the 8th verse. So if you have Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, please.
Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience.
By the things which he suffered.
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation
unto all them that obey him. Now, first of all, in order to have obedience, there must be two wills. There must be two particular people. There's a will here, and then there's another will here. So in other words, he said, Jesus, this is talking about the Lord. It says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, if I were to ask us as a general audience, how did we learn how to obey? We suffered as a result of that, right?
Yes.
Our mom told us don't do that, and we did it anyway, and we got a whipping for it. Or they said, don't touch a hot stove. The stove is hot. Don't touch it. And we want to touch it anyway to see what it's like. And so we put our little finger, our little hand on it, and something happens. It hurts. And we learn from that when mommy says or daddy says, don't do a particular thing, we are learning not to do this. Now, what we have to understand is that if I have a desire to do a particular thing and you have a desire to do that absolute same thing, then it's not one that is submitting to the other, right? It is when one has a mind to go one way and another has a mind to go another way and one submits themselves to the other, then that's what obedience is. That there has to be a submission of one will to the will of another. All right? Mm-hmm. So when we have that, then we have what is called obedience. And that's the basic Bible definition of obedience. Now, one of the things that I want us to understand is that God respects our our will so much that he will not, under any condition, override it, all right?
Yes.
So if I don't want to go to heaven, I don't have to go, all right? If he's made all the provisions that he's made and I decide that I don't want to do what God is telling me to do, then I don't have to do that, and God doesn't force me to do it.
Yes.
Now, there are going to be some consequences to my disobedience, and there's going to be some effects to our disobedience. So we've got to be very clear and very careful to know that it just doesn't come with I can just do what I want to do, and there's going to be no effect to it, but it affects everybody around us, and I want us to understand. There is one sin that Adam and Eve, all that they did, they were the only two people on the face of the earth. They committed one trespass against God. God said to this tree, don't even touch it, don't eat of the fruit thereof, and the day that you eat the fruit thereof, you shall surely die. And what they determined in their mind, they didn't have an understanding of the long-term effect that it would have and how many people that it would affect. And the disobedience that Adam and Eve, their disobedience affects you. Thousands of years later, it affects me. It's why we're in this pandemic, is because of disobedience. It's why we're in that we have the problems and the turmoil in our country and in our nations that we have, is because of one simple act of disobedience. So what I want us to understand here today, if we don't get anything else here, that your disobedience to God, when God tells us to do something, no matter what it is, how simple it is, when we have a clarity and an understanding that this is God requiring this of me, I have to do it.
Yeah.
And why do I do it? I do it because it's in my best interest to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not only in my best interest to do it, but it's in the best interest of all those around me. You know what? I was 11 years old when I got my last whipping from my parents. Right? And not that I was a good boy, but I was a quick learner. Because what I learned is that I was going to have to do that thing anyway. Mm-hmm. Right? And then I was going to, if I didn't do it, I was going to get a whipping.
Yeah.
And we learned something in our, it was something about, I have three siblings of us are right together. There's a sister that's right under me, then it's me, and then it's my old brother that's just right older than I am. And we played together. We did everything together. And oftentimes, I don't know how this happened, but we got whippings together. When we got into trouble, it would be that we all got into trouble at the same time. I still don't know how that worked, right? But, of course, I come from a family of 11 children. And the three of us are probably the closest together, and we played together all the time. And what we learned some things. I learned something about my mother. I learned that if we were getting, all three of us getting a whipping, if it's my mother, you want to go last. And the reason you want to go last, by the time she got to the third one, she was tired. It was my father that was whipping us. If we said, and then one of the things we didn't want to happen, we didn't want mom to say, I'm going to tell your daddy when you get home, you're going to get whipped when your daddy get home. Mama, you just whip us now, we'll be all right. And she didn't do that all the time. But what I learned from my father is, if it was my father, you go first. Now, that must have meant that we had a lot of those times, right?
Yeah.
We went first, because by the time he got to the third one, he was just warming up. All right, so we learned that. So this scripture that tells us is a very simple scripture that tells us that we learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Now, why is it talking about Christ learning obedience? Well, because what you have to understand, Christ and God are the same. They're equal. They are equal. There is no submission of one will. There's no two separate wills. It's the will of God. And Christ submits. Christ is part of that. Part of the Trinity is part of the will of God. Does that make sense to you, what I'm saying here? All right, so there was no understanding of how to be obedient, because there was no concept, if you can allow me to say it, there was no eternal concept in the Trinity of obedience. So when Christ came down, the scripture says that he made himself of no reputation. It was very deliberate of what he did. He made himself of no reputation, but he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man. What did he do? He humbled himself.
Yeah.
And he became obedient. So now he has a will as being born the Son of God, part man, part woman. What I mean by that, part human, part God. That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. Part human, part God. All right. When he learned that, when he came into that, into understanding that, then he came to the understanding, now I have my own will. When he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he has an understanding that his will, not my will, but thy will be done. So these wills were separated at that time. And now he's in a place that he can understand what obedience is. He understands what you and I are going through when we understand that I've got to submit my will. I don't really want to do this, but I've got to submit my will to the will of someone that is an authority. All right. And so Jesus understood that. And when this scripture is talking here, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Though he were one, He said in one place he thought it not robbery to be equal with God,
yes.
But he made himself of no reputation. It's what we just read,
yes.
What we just quoted. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself specifically of no reputation so that he could experience what obedience and disobedience was. All right? And so here we have it. So when it says here, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now, I wanted to lay this down, that when we obey the Lord, our life is better.
Yes.
When we are obedient to the things of God, and even if it's something that we don't want to do, we are better off by obeying the Lord than we are by disobeying. Now, we have the option of disobeying. And we'll always have the option, all the way to the end of our lives, we'll have the option to accept what God is saying to us, and we'll have the option of saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And the Lord will allow us to say, no, I'm not going to do that. But I want us to understand that there is an effect of it, and then there are consequences to disobedience. Even for people of God. Now, oh, you're saved and you're sanctified. You don't disobey God. Well, I don't think that is our... That is the state of a saint, but I believe that there are times that if we're not careful, the Lord will give us clarity and understanding of what to do, and we justify not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't call it disobedience, but we make a justification in our mind. I don't know that that's quite the thing that I need to do, but the Lord has told us to do it. And I believe that this happens like this. When the Lord tells us, in one sense, to step out on faith on something, sometimes that's very difficult for us to do. But one of the things that I want us to make certain of is that we understand, first of all, that this is a requirement that God has told us to do. Now, I want us to go also to Jonah. Now, this is a good example of what we're going to be talking about here. I want us to go to Jonah, the first chapter, and I want to start reading at the first verse. So, I want to make a distinction here between us clearly knowing what the will of the Lord is versus us not quite being sure. But I think this is what the Lord is telling me to do, but I'm not sure. And I've been in those places, and I'm certain you have been in those places as well. What do we do in those times? What we do in those times, and this is how I've seen like the Lord's worked with me over the course of my life, that if I feel like this is what the Lord would have me to do, and I'm not quite sure, I have a right to do one of two things. I have a right to wait and let something else verify that this is what the Lord is wanting me to do. So there is corroborating evidence that the Lord presents. And then he gives us a clarity and an understanding. I understand a little bit more, but I'm still not sure. And so we go forward cautiously,
yeah,
until we're very clear that this is what the Lord wants us to do.
Yeah.
And if we can't go forward, then we stand here prepared to do what God wants us to do, because ultimately obedience is a submission of our will to the will of God. Lord, not as I will, I want your will to be done, but I need grace. I need you to give me something else. I need some kind of a sign, you might say, that this is what your will is concerning me. Now, will is for me concerning this particular matter. Now, all of you know here that I was in Dallas, Texas, and been pastor for a long time. And now the Lord required me to come to relocate to California. You think that was an easy thing? No. And I knew over the course of, I prayed about it for 3 years. I know you guys were praying about it for a year and a half or so, that the Lord would send a pastor and whatnot. But I prayed about it for 3 years. I knew that this was the Lord, and I felt like it was the Lord's will, but I needed the Lord's timing. I didn't tell anybody. And I think this is why it took our congregation kind of by surprise, told them a few months before we left. I gave them hints all the time. I would tell them, I said to you know my goal, and I had two really good ministers that were coming up behind me, and I said my goal is, I would allow them to minister. I said my goal is to mentor my way out of a position, and that's still my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying for the Lord to bring a younger minister here to the Sacramento area, or raise one up somewhere so that I can mentor my way out of this position.
Yes.
I want it to be very clear. I don't intend to be here when I'm 90. All right? I don't intend to be the pastor when I'm 90 years old. Or you know, if the Lord were to put somebody else here, it would be wonderful. And we could work together. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But we want to know what the mind of the Lord is. And we want to know the Lord's timing. Now, I could have said, I'm not coming there because California is expensive. And I just, whatever, you can make whatever kind of justifications and excuses that you wanted to make. But you know, and you wouldn't even have known it. You would not have known it. All right, but it could have been deemed as disobedience to what the Lord was telling me to do, and no one knows it. I could have justified my way out of being here, and I could have been in some other area that would have been a lot simpler and easier for me, but it would have been disobedience on my part, and it would have had an effect. It would have affected you. But can you imagine that, what would have happened had we not done that? All right. Now, this is the new normal for you. We've been here for almost a year. This is the new normal. You're feeling confident in what's going on in the congregation here. But we could have justified our way out of it, and no one would have ever known it. No one would have known it except for me.
Yeah.
All right. But it would have had an effect. It would have had an effect on you.
Yes.
It would have had an effect on how the brothers are coming along in the congregation there. They're doing well and they're blossoming. And I see that. And I understand that when I go back there, I understand that I would be in the way. This is what the Lord is doing. And so we've got to be in a position to allow the Lord to work in the way that he wants to work. Let's read Jonah, the first chapter, first verse, please.
Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying,
right.
Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city.
Yes.
And cry against it.
Cry against
for the wickedness has come up before me.
The wickedness has come up before me.
But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa.
Now, first of all, I want to stop here for a moment because I want to bring out some points that I think are very vital to this particular thing. Jonah was what? He was a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Preachers, are they saved?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The ones I want preaching to me are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So these are people that have a relationship with the Lord, right? Jonah was a man that had a relationship with the Lord. Now, Jonah was not in a position where he felt like, where he wasn't sure. Well, Lord, I'm not sure if this is what you want me to do. You really want me to go down to Nineveh? It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Jonah had a very clear understanding of what God required for him to do. But Jonah decided to do something very different than what God determined for him to do. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, sometimes we feel like if I can get as far away from the Lord as I possibly can, then he'll stop talking to me. Well, you know what? This is why some people have the issues in their lives, is because God has talked to them, God has told them a particular thing, what to do, and they have determined in their mind that they didn't want to do it. All right? And we have that right to say to the Lord that I don't want to do it, but there is going to be some consequences to it. It's going to have some effect to it. When I disobey the Lord and when I'm saved and sanctified, and this man right here was a saved man, he justified it. Do you think he blatantly said, I ain't going to go do that? I'm not. Now, he had some disagreements with the Lord on down, so we see a little bit what Jonah's kind of a personality had. But ultimately, what we see in this particular situation is that Jonah, in some way, somehow, he justified what he was doing as not being that bad of a thing, and he went in the opposite direction of what God told him to do. How many of us do that? This is not an answer. This is a rhetorical question. It's a question for you to think about. It's a question for you to say, how many times have I justified what I'm doing to the Lord? Nobody knows it. Nobody understands it. Nobody knew that the Lord had talked to Jonah. It did not say that there was a voice that came out of heaven and said to Jonah, and everybody heard and everybody turned around and looked at Jonah. This was something that was very personal, that was very private, that the Lord spoke to Jonah about. The Lord speaks to us about things, and the Lord wants us to obey his voice. And so when I say to you in the preface of this discourse, when I say it to you, you don't have to do anything I say. No, you don't. But what my desire and my requirement is to get the word at the mouth of the Lord and then give it to you. So now it's on you. The onus is on you to do what God tells you to do through whatever man, woman, boy, or girl that the Lord speaks to. Sometimes it's not the pastor. Sometimes it's a simple person in the audience that stands up and the Lord, and they give a testimony and the Lord inspires it. And as he inspires that testimony, that the Lord speaks to you through another person.
Yes.
And it doesn't have to be the pastor. It doesn't have to be me. Now, are you going to do what the Lord tells you to do? Or in your privacy, are you going to be disobedient to the Lord? I know this is what God told me to do. I know it's what he told me to do, but it's going to be difficult. I don't want to go to those people. It's a horrible, wicked city. I don't want to preach, but Jonah, you just got one thing to do. And all you got to do is stand up and tell them about the Lord. Well, Lord, I don't want to do that.
Because I knew the reason. What did he say on down in the chapters? He's talking about, I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to do it. That's why I didn't want to come in the first place. But do you know who was affected by what Jonah did? All of those people, over 120,000 people in Nineveh, and would have been affected had Jonah completely disobeyed the Lord and not changed his mind about it. Now, let's go a little bit further. There was a very deliberate and calculated disobedience, but God didn't stop him from doing it. God didn't say, wait, Jonah, I'm gonna trip you. I'm not gonna make you where you can't walk unless you walk in this direction. The Lord didn't say that. The Lord let him do whatever he wanted to do, but there were consequences, right? So here, let's start at the fourth verse, please.
But the Lord sent out a great wind
into the sea.
And there was a mighty tempest in the sea.
So that the ship was like to be broken.
Then the mariners were afraid.
And cried every man unto his God.
And cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship. And he lay and was fast asleep.
Now, the first thing I want to bring out is that everybody else, he said, Jonah disobeyed the Lord. But God, when he went one way, God said, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The Lord shows us here, and this the principle in here, and what we're dealing with here today is the principles that are in these passages of Scripture. All right, the principle is you have a right to do what you want to do, but it's going to cause, there are going to be consequences if you disobey the Lord.
Amen.
There are going to be consequences in your life, and there are going to be consequences in the life of everybody that is around you.
Yes.
How many people did this man affect by his disobedience to the Lord?
Yes.
He affected people that he did not even know. All right? He affected the mariners. They're here in this ship. The ship is about to be broken. They don't know what to do. This is kind of unusual for them. Yes, we've been in some storms, but we've not been in them like this particular storm. And they begin to understand that there are some effects to disobedience. We understand from this that there are effects to disobedience to the Lord, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it affects the mariners. It affects the merchants. It affects whoever owned the ship. It affected the cargo, because what did they begin to do? They began to take the cargo and lighten the ship. All of these things, somebody lost a lot of money as a result of Jonah's disobedience to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The end users, who were these products for? The end users were affected. They were waiting for a shipment at a particular time, maybe a shipment of gold or whatever it might have been. And now it was all lost. And why was it lost? It was lost because one man was disobedient. Do you realize that if I'm disobedient as a husband, it affects my entire family. Not just my wife and my children. If I'm disobedient let's just use a person in general. If you decide that you're not going to do what God wants you to do in your life, it's going to affect more than just you.
That's true.
It would affect my son. It would affect my grandchildren. It would affect the neighborhood. Depending on what kind of a man you are, it's going to affect everybody that is around you. I want us to understand that. I want to understand that there is effects to disobedience. There are consequences to disobedience. Part of the problems that we're having in our nation and in our world today is because there were men that didn't step up to be fathers. Lord help us. And there were women, let's just be equal here. There were women that didn't step up to the plate to be good mothers. And their disobedience to God. There are people that determine in their mind that I can do this without God. I can live my life without God. And it affects everybody that is around you.
Yes,
Lord, help us.
Amen, Lord.
Now here's the wonderful thing. It doesn't really matter because God, it doesn't matter that you did it and you don't have to feel bad about it. You can say, Lord, from this point forward,
yes.
From this point forward, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my life turned back around. And the Lord will do that. Now, I know I'm talking to saints, but there are others that are going to be listening as well. But it doesn't matter. Even as a saint of God, it will affect what if you are justified disobedience in some kind of a way, it's going to affect more than just you.
That's true.
All right? All right, so, but the Lord sent out a great wind in the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was down in the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now, he was completely oblivious to the chaos that he was causing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people are completely oblivious. The reason that we're having this problem is not because of everybody else, that we need to make some adjustments, and we need to throw this all over, and they made all the adjustments, but the problem is not them. The problem is you. You're the problem. You're the one that's laying down asleep while everybody else, and you're just completely oblivious to the chaos and the terror that you're causing in your little boy's life, in your little girl's life, in the life around you. You're completely oblivious. Well, I feel like I have a right to be happy. What do you mean you have a right to be happy? You don't have a right to be happy. When you brought a child into the world, you have a right to raise that child up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Your happiness is not based on you going out every night and doing whatever it is that you want to. You may the Lord help us. Your job, your right is to say that I have brought a child into this world and I'm going to take care of it for the next 18, 20 years. Now, I think it's longer than that because I'm got some in the 30s and I'm still helping to take care of them, right? They always call you up and, Daddy, what kind of advice can you give me on this particular thing? You never lose that, you know? May the Lord help us. But you know what I thank the Lord for? I told my children, I don't care if you don't have an education. I don't care what. I told them this when they were young. I don't care what you do. What's going to make your daddy happy is you loving the Lord and you living for the Lord. And let me tell you what I'm going to do as a result of that to try to help you out. I'm going to try to be the perfect example. Oh, did we make mistakes as parents? I don't think there's a parent on the face of the earth that doesn't wish that they could redo some things if they had an opportunity. I don't believe they're such a person, but let me tell you, as we endeavor to follow the Lord and as we endeavor to be an example to our children, you know what? They're saved as a result of that. And I thank the Lord for that. Why? And I know that it was a choice that they made to be obedient. But can you imagine the effect that it would have if they were disobedient? Can you imagine what I'd have to be dealing with my grandchildren and all these other things and the calls that you'd get in the middle of the night? Why? Because of their disobedience. It doesn't just affect them. Oh, you're happy? Are you happy now? Are you happy doing what you're doing? Are you happy in the kind of disobedience to the Lord? The best way to turn your life around, if you're listening to us today, the best way to turn your life around is to give it to the Lord and say, Lord, from this point forward, I'm going to be obedient to you. And you know what? Let's see what happens. Read this.
6.
Yes.
So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him,
yes.
What meanest thou, O sleeper?
What meanest thou, O sleeper?
Arise.
Arise.
Call upon thy God.
Call upon thy God.
If so be that God will think upon us.
God will think upon us.
That we perish not.
That we perish not. We're going to die. We're in a ship that is destined to die. To sink. We're all destined to die. Call on you, Lord. We don't know anything else to do. And now all of a sudden, you are aware, Jonah. And there are those of us that are Jonas. We're all now we're aware that what is taking place is a result of what we did. All right. So what does Jonah say in 7th verse?
And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know,
whose cause
this evil is upon us. So they cast lots.
This is something beyond the natural and the normal storms that we have on this particular sea. We've never had anything like this. It has to be something that's beyond God. Let me tell you something about our life. Sometimes the Lord wants to let us know and understand that what the storm that is in your life may be because of your justifying disobedience, your subtle, your passive disobedience, whatever it is, just examine your life. I'm not here to tell you that what's happening in your life is a result of that. I'm not here to tell you that. But the Lord can speak to you. You can examine your life and you can find out if that's what the issue is. Call on your God. Ask him, Lord, what would you have me to do? All right, read, please.
So they cast lots. And the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him,
Tell us, we pray thee,
for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country?
They were asking one question after another. What people art thou? And he said,
I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid, and said unto them,
Why hast thou done this? Why hast thou done this?
But the men knew.
It affects us. The consequences are you're the one that's disobedient, and now it's affecting us. All right.
But the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them.
Now, here I want to say to this, he had a testimony that he began to testify. All right, now I'm submitting myself to the Lord, and what it takes is obedience takes humility. Talked a little bit about that last Sunday, didn't we?
Yes.
Obedience takes humility. I've got to humble myself. Now, let's read the 11th verse.
Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee?
What shall we do unto
that
you?
That the sea may be calm unto us.
That the sea may be calm unto us.
For the sea was wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them,
take me up and cast me forth into the sea.
So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you.
Now, I want to stop there for a moment. We'll pick that right back up. So he said, now, I want to say this to us. When we come to a situation and an understanding that I'm the problem, it's me, oh Lord. This is the reason that all the chaos in your life, husband, a wife, children, you know, if your children are disobedient, it affects the parents too, doesn't it?
Yes.
If you're having issues and whatever happens to my son, it's not just happening to my son, it's happening to me. And I need my son, to whoever it is, and I'm just using this in a general term, I need them to understand that it's not just about you. You're not an island. I'm going to be up at night worried about you. I'm going to be dealing with the issues that and the storms that are happening in your life, and you're the cause of them. You're the cause of the storms. All right? So here he's saying, now, when we come to the understanding and the realization and the Lord enlightens our mind that we're the problem, do we have the courage to do something about it?
Help us, Lord.
Do we have the courage to do whatever it takes to stop the storm? Well, I'm not really ready to get saved right now. Well, you know it takes courage to be saved?
Yeah.
It takes courage to humble your heart before the Lord. Well, what about my friends? What about all the people that know me as the cool guy? Or whatever you are. What about all the history that I have with all my friends and all the things? It takes courage to say, you know what? I don't care. The storms are in my life. What's happening to me? What's happening to my family? What's happening all around? It's not them. It's me. Now, if y'all just do this, just take me and throw me overboard. Now, here's a good thing. I say in my mind, why didn't he just jump off and say, listen, this is going to happen? But I think it had to be where he gave his life. And because if you go on into Matthew, I believe it talks about where Jesus, he said, you're looking for a sign, but only the sign of Jonah the prophet is going to, that's the only sign. He was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, and he said, and that's what's going to happen to the Son of Man. He said, he's going to give his life. So here is what it was. And I believe that is an inference. If you, the Lord Jesus Christ himself ties those two together. And what is this? When you throw him into the sea, it's a watery grave, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jonah had no idea that a whale was going to swallow him up. He had no idea of that. He said, just pick me up and throw me over. I've got the courage to understand that I don't have a right to continue to cause these issues in your life. I don't have that right. Now, and I believe that the reason it's important for us to see that they take him up and throw him over and not him do it himself. He didn't commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
He gave his life. Jesus didn't commit suicide. He gave his life.
Amen.
All right. So we see that that's a very important point for us to get a hold of. All right, and so he says,
Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land.
But they could not.
For the sea was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said,
We beseech thee, O Lord.
Let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging.
Now, here's the point that I want to make. The first thing is in the 13th verse, it speaks about, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. They rowed hard. Do you know sometimes you're going to try, well, I'm going to try this. And then if you're trying to calm the storm in your life, all of us have storms in our lives. And then sometimes the storm, there was one situation where Jesus was going from one side to the other, and as the storm came up, and Jesus was down in the hold of the ship asleep, right? And they came down and woke him, Lord, our Lord, we perish. And then the Lord stood up and said, peace be still. There are some storms that are not as a result of our disobedience. I want us to understand that. Not everything that happens in our life is due to our disobedience. There are some things that the Lord are testing us. The Lord are testing us to see where we are and whether or not we're going to trust him. So we need to make that distinction. I want to make very clear those distinctions. But here is a situation where they're just trying, we're going to try something different. We're going to row and try to get to the shore because we don't want to. We realize that if we throw you over, you're going to die. We're in the middle of nowhere. You can't swim that far. We're not going to put you back in the boat. And so he understood that. They threw him over, and then immediately the wind ceased. You see the effects of Jonah's disobedience? You see how it affected and terrified men that were around them? You see how the men had to literally do something? They had to pray, Lord, I don't want you to hold this to our charge. We're doing this because he's telling us to do it. And they're praying and repenting before the Lord before they ever do it. May the Lord help us to understand that this is what we're to, that this is what's happening. When we disobey the Lord, it has an effect on more than just us. All right?
Yes, it's true.
All right. So, and this is the 12th verse, and it says, and he said, take me up and cast me. All right, I'm sorry. Let's go drop down to the 14th verse. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him to the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging, and the men feared God exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. All right, so now, I want to say this. I want to say this about the storms in our lives. We can pray and ask the Lord, and of course, this is a challenge to us all. We can pray and ask the Lord, Lord, is this because of me? Is it because of disobedience on my part? And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But at the times that it is something that we brought on ourselves, we need to have the humility to submit ourselves before the Lord and allow the Lord to make the adjustment. Allow the Lord to settle the storms.
Amen.
All right? Now, who would it have affected? Jonah went to Nineveh. We'll just paraphrase this for the sake of time. Jonah went to Nineveh. There was 120,000 people there that he preached to. Estimates. 120,000 people from the king to the servant. And you know what the king said when they heard that message after Jonah had gone into the belly of the whale? And he had humbled himself. We talked about that last Sunday. He had humbled himself and he had excavated out of there, out of that humility where he was willing to give himself, willing to die. Oftentimes there has to be a death on our part in order for the Lord to do something great with us. All right? And so he humbled himself. He was willing to die. It's really what he's saying. I'm willing to die because I realize I'm the one that has the problem. I'm the one that caused this problem. And so we have to be willing to die to ourselves. We have to be willing to die to our wants, our desires, our ways. We have to be willing to do that for the Lord to bless us and help us. And sometimes in order for the Lord to calm the storms in the life of our family, in the life of those that are around us. And you know what? I think about it like this sometimes. You think about our politicians and you think about those that are in leadership positions. Do you realize that what they do affect us? This is why the Lord tells us to pray for them that they would lead, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life. Depending on what the politicians what they're doing and what they're saying and all these kinds of things, they have an effect on us.
Yeah.
So we've got to pray for them. We have to ask the Lord, Lord, give us the clarity and understanding who to vote for and what to vote for and all these kind of things. The Lord has to do that for us, all right? Now let's go to another scripture I want to read toward our closing. Philippians, the second chapter, I've quoted it. Philippians 2, verse 5.
Let this mind be in you.
Let this mind be in you.
Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Which was also in Christ Jesus.
Who being in the form of God.
Being in the form of God.
Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death.
Obedient unto death.
Even the death of the cross.
Of the cross. All right. It says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. We already have elaborated on that. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the Lord was saying, I'm not just being obedient unto any death. I'm being obedient down to the worst of the deaths that is possible. So may the Lord help us that we would be willing to die to ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
If we're causing problems in people's life, we die to ourselves. And when Jesus was going from one, he was in the midst of the sea, and they woke him up, and they said, Lord, we perish. The Lord realized that he was in a ship that was going to go down.
Yes.
They realized that they were in a ship that was going to go down. You know, our lot, we're in a ship that's going to go down unless we have the Lord in our lives.
That's true.
You understand that? That we're, it's the ark that Noah built has some reference to it as well. That we're in a safe environment, and the Lord, as the trials and tests and the waves come, the Lord just lifts us above them.
Yes.
Right? And if we, as saints of God, we can express and explain that to other people, it may be easier for them to give their heart to the Lord. I want us to go a little further and read one more scripture for closing. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22.
And Samuel said,
"That
the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord.
Behold,
to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams."
This is Saul, and the Lord had told Saul to go and to completely destroy the Amalekites, and Saul decided that he was going to destroy all the Amalekites, did almost everything that the Lord told him to do, but he brought forth the king, Agag, I believe, and then he brought forth all the sheep. And then he comes to Samuel the prophet, and he says, "Well, I've done all that the Lord has commanded of me." And he says, "Well, what do I hear the sheep? The Lord told you to destroy everything." And you know, sometimes we can justify what we're doing for the Lord. "Well, Lord, this just is too good for us to destroy. So therefore, we're going to justify it and we're going to give it to the Lord in another way." And the Lord says, "That's not what I want. I don't want you to give me things. I want you to give me you."
Yes, Lord.
Now, you know, the only thing that we can really say that we really and truly have that is truly ours is our own will. No one can take it from us. No one can make me do it. You know, I can submit myself. No one can make me truly submit. They can make me comply, but they cannot make me submit. All right, there's two different things. On the outside, they look the same, but have you ever heard about the little boy? I've used this on many occasions. He says, "I might be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside." You know, in other words, you told me to sit down, I might be sitting down, but you have not gotten to my will, and you're not going to make me do it. I'm not going to do it with, and nobody knew it. In his mind, he knew that he was standing up on the inside.
Yeah.
But he's sitting down physically. So a person can hold a gun to your head and make you comply and do whatever else that they want you to do, but they cannot make you submit to them ultimately, and the Lord's not going to do it either. So what we have to understand is that we don't give the Lord things, we give the Lord us. And then the Lord will have the things that we have. So in other words, if the Lord wanted us to, if the Lord needed things, he created all the things. He created us for his glory. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that what the Lord wants us to do, he said, is better to obey than to sacrifice. He said, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" The only true sacrifice we have is our obedience.
Yes, Lord.
That is the only true sacrifice. I am yielding the most powerful thing that I have, that I can stop the Lord from doing anything in my life that he wants to do. I can stop him by just simply saying, "No, I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to do it. I don't want it done like that. And I'm not going to do it." And the Lord will have to back up, because he honors your will. He honors what he gave you. And he honors it as being powerful enough to stop him from helping you. So here's the point. Do you believe that the Lord wants to save every person on the face of the earth? It's pretty obvious to me that he does, right? Every person on the face of the earth, the Lord wants to save. But he's not doing it. And why is he not doing it? Because there are some people that are saying, "No, I don't want it." And they often say, "I don't want it right now." But you know what? The storms that are in their life, the problems that are in their life, the problems that they're causing their family as a result of this. And you know, talking about the homeless population, we're putting that out. We're praying for that. We're putting all the people that are in the homeless population, you know, a good majority of them, they have problems. This is where the effects of their disobedience to the Lord. I'm not going to say all of them. There are probably some that we don't know, and I don't want to generalize it too much. But every problem, really, every problem in the world that we have is the effect of somebody disobeying the Lord.
Yeah.
From Adam all the way down to who we are. I sure wish Adam hadn't done what he did, but we're all Adams and all Eves. We have choices too. And if every person in the world right now made a choice to be obedient to the Lord and live for the Lord, the world would change. It would change immediately. May the Lord help us. Don't be disobedient. Don't justify disobedience. Submit your will and your way to the Lord. Obey him. Bless, and the Lord will bless you for it. Pray for me.